This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
And thank you once again for joining us here as we seek to create a just society right where we are. Once again, I'm very glad that you are here with us as we continue our study of Quadragesimo Anno, the encyclical by Pope Pius XI, which is a 40-year follow-up to Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII. Today we're going to be discussing the how-tos of just wages, and we'll get more on that in a moment. I think maybe the reason so many do not get too involved with social justice is because it's a messy operation. It really is. It's not quite so neat and tidy as we like to make it out so many times. And when it comes to just wages, that's more messy than you realize. Because if you think about it, it's not about just naming it, saying we need just wages. But, you know, we've got questions like, you know, what is just wages? How does employers pay just wages? What if, you know, the employer can't afford to pay better wages than they do without ruining their business? You know, there's all this messiness around it. And fortunately, Pope Pius XI gets into this nitty-gritty of just wages. And man, he gets right to it, and he really guides us through this process and makes it clear and concrete how to achieve this. We'll be studying paragraphs 63 through 74 of the encyclical today. And beginning with paragraph 63, Pope Pius XI sets a specific standard and asks a very specific and defining question. And that question really helps us understand where we're really headed. Have you ever been involved in a project, and after a while, people kind of forget what the main point of the project is? I know in my position, I have people under me and I at work, and you know, I have to refresh them sometimes. I have to remind them what our goals are, where we're headed, what we're doing, and reminding them that not everything that comes across that appears to be an emergency fits within those goals and should maybe be let go. Because we got to stay within where we're headed. And with this question, Pope Pius XI helps us remember, okay, where are we actually headed here by asking this very specific and defining question. But first, the standard. He notes that nothing that was said in Rerum Novarum is of any value unless the common laborer can own property. So he sets that standard. So he says you can talk about just wages all you want, but if those just wages do not lead to ownership of property, then we're wasting our time. Now, it's interesting to me that what he doesn't call laborers in, you know, common laborers or the working class. It's interesting that Pope Pius XI terms them non-owning workers. In other words, they're people who work, but they don't own the company. So he says there's two types of workers in the company, the ones who own the company, the owning workers, and the non-owning workers. So he's asking us this one question: what is even, and here it is again, what is even the purpose of work? And so he reminds us the purpose of work is to be able to own property. And thus from that to gain or to realize our rights as humans and as families. I think of the song Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve. Yeah, it's kind of a cool song. I like it. And it talks about the struggle of being born, working, being a slave to money, then dying. And that's what Pope Pius XI is challenging on this. Is that really the purpose? Is it really to be born, work, be a slave to money, and die? No, he says there has to be a standard within this for the, again, non-owning workers, is that a just wage is just because it allows them to obtain property so that they can advance themselves and their families and not be a slave to the system. Now, he asks a very specific question, and it is this: how is property ownership even possible through working wages alone? So, he is really breaking this thing down of just wages and taking us meticulously step by step through this process. So at first he says, what is the purpose of work? And it is to own property. But now he asks something beyond that. How is it possible to own property on working wages alone? So he's showing us that it's not enough to just talk about just wages, but where do those just wages come from? And he's contending that it's not possible to be a property owner on working wages alone. So we can't just say, okay, a just wage, it means that your paycheck is higher. No, he's like, there's got to be other ways to obtain just wages for yourself and your family. So do we just jack up the wages, or is there something else? And I like that, because one of the contentions in this idea of just wages is this oversimplification that, okay, well, I need a higher paycheck at my job. And companies will say, but it's really going to damage the company if we're going to pay everybody much higher wages. We won't be able to keep the company open. Then there will be no wages. So how do we deal with this contention? Well, Pope Pius XI says maybe there's something else besides just that one thing. So this sets the stage for the rest of what we will be looking at today. Now, in paragraph 64, he begins to discuss the idea of that other thing, which is a partnership contract between company owners and employees. A partnership contract. He says that some have said that the idea of hiring employees is unjust. So he's saying that there's this discussion going on that maybe there shouldn't be owners and employees, but there should be something, some other kind of setup within the workplace. So he says that some have said that the idea of hiring employees is unjust, but the Pope says that this is a grave error, and that this idea uproots what Pope Leo XIII said. Pope Leo believed that working for wages was a good thing. So what he's doing, what Pope Pius XI is doing, is he's muddying the water, so to speak. He's saying, we need something else besides just wages, but you can't say, well, we shouldn't have employees because of this other thing. So what he's doing is really trying to untangle the conversation a bit. So in paragraph 65, he says that the partnership contract is not to be ruled out due to conditions of the present day society. He states that we should keep the practice of hiring workers in place, but modify it with a type of partnership contract. So I think of companies around the world and in America that, they have employee-owned companies. I know one of the major supermarkets chains on the West Coast is employee-owned, and so employees get a share in the profits each quarter. Now, it's interesting, this idea that the Pope brings out. He's like, we always want to think in terms of either this or that, but maybe there's a third option. What the Pope is trying to bring into the discussion is, Yes, keep the practice of hiring workers in place. Modify it with a partnership contract so that the employees can share in the company profits. And what he's going to bring out is by doing this, now you bring in that other income source besides the paycheck that will then allow for the property ownership for employees without breaking the bank for the company. And I like the idea of employees sharing in the profits of the company each quarter, because that then motivates employees to be more creative in their work, to work hard, to make as much profit for the company as they can, because they know I'm getting some of that back. Now, in paragraph 66 through 68, he now says that we need to avoid a simplistic approach to wages, which I've already mentioned. He says that there are those who would claim that the solution to unjust wages is a simple and singular thing, but he says it is not. He says that there are many layers and factors to calculate into what a just wage should be. So here are three negative and simplistic approaches to wages that do not work. Okay, you ready for these? And Ben, these are things we see each day, but these are negative, they're simplistic approaches, and they don't work. One is having a minimum wage. I am of the persuasion that a minimum wage is not a good idea. That only, first of all, raises the price of everything. I saw one of the politicians in California advocating for a $50 an hour minimum wage in California to keep up with cost of living. The problem with a $50 an hour minimum wage is then the businesses and restaurants will only raise their prices and thus losing customers, therefore not being able to pay the minimum wage. And they'll have to lay off employees. It's overly simplistic to say there's this artificial number that we're going to place on a wage. It only raises the price on everything, and even at $50 an hour, when the price of everything's raised, people on minimum wage will still not be able to afford the cost of living. Equitable wages. I don't like this idea, and that's very popular in Oregon especially, but in other states. But an equitable wage states that people working in the same position get paid the same thing, no matter what their education is, no matter what their experience is or what their skills are. If you're in the same position as somebody else in a company, you get paid the same wages, equitable wages. These are very unfair. The word equitable sounds fair, but it's not. It's very unfair to those who have taken the time in their lives to gain skills, to hone their skills, and who have been in the industry longer than others. And so we need to get rid of the idea of this equitable wages. The third negative and overly simplistic approach to just wages is the idea of fixed wages and benefits that are taken out of your paycheck. I've really been battling this and having a lot of discussions with people around this. Is it really a benefit? And let me know in the email that you'll hear at the end of this podcast. Let me know your thoughts on this, but is a benefit that you're given at work really a benefit if you have to pay for it out of your paycheck? So for example, health insurance is a benefit, right? So you have group insurance at work. So much of it gets taken out of your paycheck, and the bigger your family is, the more is taken out of your paycheck. And I get that the company is also paying part of that, but if you're paying any part of it and it's taking away from your take-home pay, is it really a benefit? I'm not so convinced. Let me know what you think. Now, the Pope also confronts the idea that people should get paid what the product is worth. You know, some people say, well, you know, you make something that's not worth that much. You know, that's why you got low wages. He confronts that idea and says, well, not really. He reminds us of the error of thinking that as an owner, you can take all the profit that your employees work to gain. Okay, let's say that again. He says it is an error of thinking that as an owner of a company, you can take all the profit that your employees have gained. So he's against this idea and speaking against this idea that, okay, so the company, after paying all the employees, after paying for the materials, for products, for, you know, the rent or the mortgage on the factory or store, for example, and after everything's been paid, then all the profits go to the owner. He says that's not fair because the employees, without them, you wouldn't have this profit. So, you know, you need to bless them for the work they've put into it and not with a low wage. So he's confronting this idea that, it's not based upon product worth, but based upon justice is how you pay your employees, by sharing with them the profits of the company, sort of making partners, making your employees partners with the company. And if they are partners with the company in this contract partnership, then they are invested in the company. Therefore, they want the company to succeed. But if I'm not invested in a company and I get no reward for driving up profits, then why bother working hard and helping the company? Why should I care? You say, well, we're giving you a job. Well, yeah, I can get a job somewhere else. Big deal, right? Now, paragraph 69 through 74. He states that there must be regulations and organic bodies in place, aka unions, that ensure just wages for workers, and that we cannot have an individualistic approach to this, but rather consider that each job and each position is part of a whole. Okay, so it's not like, okay, this person's job is worth more than that person's job in the company. No, he's saying, no, all of us are part of a whole, and every part is necessary to the success of the entire company. Therefore, each part should be rewarded for doing their part well in the company. There's a show that I love. I can't wait for future seasons to come out of it. It's the show Severance on Apple TV Plus. Severance is it has grabbed me, and I love that show. And in this show Severance, there are people in one department working in a department who do not know that other departments exist, or if they do discover that there's other departments that exist in the office building, they don't know why they exist. So the severance is about these people getting brain chips implanted, and therefore when they're at work, they forget that they have a personal life, and when they're at home, they forget that they have a work life, and it's this domination and control by this corporation. And not only that, but they're keeping the departments separated, and because of the hallway configuration in this giant office building, people can't find the other departments. And, you know, that's what the idea that the Pope is speaking against is, that, no, you're part of something bigger. You're part of a whole, and therefore the owners of the company should ensure that you're rewarded for doing your part to make this whole thing a success. Now, he brings out a few principles. I've written down 10 of them through these paragraphs that must be considered from what we're discussing. And the first principle is the worker must be paid a sufficient wage to support him and his family's ordinary needs. Notice that word, ordinary needs, just the common, you know, food, housing, a car, you know, to get to work, clothes for the children, schooling, those ordinary things of life. So the worker must be paid a sufficient wage to support him and his family's ordinary needs. Secondly, it is right for others in the family to contribute an income as well. So he's not really talking about getting back to this 1950s concept of, you know, there's dad, and dad's working and making such a good wage nobody else has to work. He's like, now, if there's other adults in the family, you know, let them work and contribute. And if your child decides to stay at home beyond the age of 18, yeah, feel free to ask them to contribute to the family financially. Third, he says it is not right to expect children and women. Now, that he's not being sexist, so don't get all ticked off here. Hear me out. Pope Pius XI said it is not right to expect children and women to work in such a way that they carry a burden of responsibility for paying the bills. Women should make it a priority, he says, to raise the children. Now, he states something that's very unpopular today, that women and children are not built for labor like men are, but it's the truth. It's the biological truth that men are built more for labor than the women and children are. Therefore, he says it's not right for them to have to bear the responsibility for paying the bills. And fourth, if this is not possible in the current economy, then the state should work to immediately ensure. So what we mean by what's not possible, if it's not possible in the current economy for the man to provide for his family and carry the bigger responsibility of providing for the family, then the state should work to immediately ensure that each adult working person can receive a wage that supports the ordinary of his family's needs. So how does the state do that? Not through socialism. I want you to give me your ideas in the email you'll get at the end. But there's various things the state could do. For one thing, the state could step up and fix what's wrong with the economy. Like right now, in 2024, the economy is in the United States, we've got huge inflation, stagnant wages, we've got all these issues. So what should the government be doing right now is not implementing socialism, but rather figuring out what's wrong with the economy that's creating the inflation, that's causing wages to be stagnant, you know, and looking to how the government can play its part in getting the economy producing again. Fifth, the fifth principle that Pope Pius XI brings out is that it is unjust to demand excessive wages that would ruin a business. So not only is it unjust for a business to pay low wages, but it's unjust for employees and unions to demand excessive wages that would ruin a business. Because if you do that, then there's not only the problem of low wages, there's the problem of no wages because the company had to close. Sixth, he says it is not right if workers suffer low wages due to a business owner's lacking energy, initiative, or not keeping in touch with technological progress in order to advance their business. So he says there's, you know, all these balances. I love how Pope Pius XI is always bringing in all the sides of something. So it's unjust to pay for businesses to pay employees low wages, but the employees are being unjust if they demand too high of wages. That's going to ruin the business. But it's also unjust for businesses to not grow. If a business is not growing because the owners are lazy, or if they just lack the initiative to grow the business, or they just aren't keeping in touch with technological progress, then he says that's unjust because a growing company is able then more to pay those just wages. Number seven, it is not right, he says, and it is a grave error for, notice his strong words, it is not just unjust, right? It's a grave error, he says, for the government or others to crush a business to the point that it cannot compete and provide just wages. So it's unjust for the government to crush businesses so they can't compete. It's unjust for other companies to crush businesses so they can't compete. So I think of Amazon, they do this, they crush mom and pop organizations. Facebook crushes any upstarts in the social media field. I think of other examples where these bigger corporations, they crush any competition. And the government should ensure that there is a fair playing field. I think of the book I read a few months ago called Crushed by Ken Buck. I believe he's a congressman. But the book is called Crushed, and he shows in this book how big tech companies like Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, and these other big tech companies, how they crush any competition and any free speech. And the Pope speaks out against that. So, you know, I think it's very wise for states to ensure that there's an environment where mom and pop businesses can thrive. And unfortunately, that's not happening today. It's all going to the corporations. Number eight, the eighth principle, workers and owners should work together to come up with solutions. I love that. It's not just up to the owners to come up with solutions for around wages. Let the workers be part of the conversation. Of course, that's where a union could come into play. Nine, it may, he says, be eventually necessary to close a business. And he says, if it is necessary to close a business, then Christian minds, he specifically says Christian minds, should work together to figure out how to provide for the workers who lose their jobs. Doing this in their neighborhood, by the way. Let me ask you, how in touch are you with the businesses in your neighborhood? And maybe the workers at the business don't even live in your neighborhood, but they're coming into your neighborhood to work. How in touch are you with them and their needs? If businesses are struggling in your neighborhood, are you stepping up to help them? Are you stepping up to support them and helping solve problems in your neighborhood with the businesses? And 10th and final, as we end today, the 10th and final principle Pope Pius XI brings out is that wages should be in keeping with the common good. So wages should not be too low and should not be too high for the common good. So in paragraph 74, which I will read so that we can get his exact words, he says, lastly, the amount of pay must be adjusted to the public economic good. We have shown above how much it helps the common good for workers and other employees by setting aside some part of their income which remains after necessary expenditures to attain gradually to the possession of a moderate amount of wealth. But another point, scarcely less important, and especially vital in our times, must not be overlooked, namely, that the opportunity to work be provided to those who are able and willing to work. This opportunity depends largely on the wage and salary rate, which can help us help as long as it is kept within proper limits, but which, on the other hand, can be an obstacle if it exceeds these limits. For everyone knows that an excessive lowering of wages or their increase beyond due measure, notice the too low, too high, causes unemployment. So he says if wages are too low, it causes unemployment. If they become too high, it causes unemployment because companies have to lay off people. And then he finishes this paragraph by saying this evil, I love his strong words, this evil indeed, especially as we see it prolonged and injuring so many during the years of our pontificate, has plunged workers into misery and temptations, ruined the prosperity of nations, and put in jeopardy the public order, peace, and tranquility of the whole world. Hence, it is contrary to social justice when, for the sake of personal gain and without regard for the common good, wages and salaries are excessively lowered or excessively raised. And this same social justice demands that wages and salaries be so managed through agreement of plans and wills, in so far as it can be done, as to offer to the greatest possible number the opportunity of getting work and obtaining suitable means of livelihood. What a powerful paragraph that is, coming from Pope Pius XI. Very powerful in his explanation. And I love today how this messy subject of just wages, which really people will talk about just wages in a vague way, but nobody gets into the nitty-gritty like this. I love how clearly He defines everything. So if you're a business owner or an employee, I encourage you to read these paragraphs 63 through 74 today of Quadragesimo Anno. It really is a good guideline to follow. I love how clearly he states everything. Well, so far we have discussed individual wages and property ownership, but what do we do about the bigger social issue? The Pope discusses this in the next few paragraphs, which we will get to next time. I think in the Gospels of the story that Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus, it's in Luke 16, how there's this beggar laid at the gate of this rich man, Lazarus, and Jesus paints the picture of Lazarus living this extremely, or the rich man rather, living this extremely lavish lifestyle. Lazarus, this beggar, who is at the gates just wanting just the scraps so he can have something to eat. And at the time of their death, the rich man finds himself in hell, and the beggar finds himself in heaven. And there's a discussion with Father Abraham, between the rich man begging for just a little bit of water to cool his tongue in the fire of hell. And Abraham says, it's not possible. And, you're there because you ignored the beggar and his needs. So really, these discussions we're having, folks, has eternal ramifications. Social justice has eternal ramifications, so we have to get it right. And in our next episode, we're going to be looking at Matthew 25, where Jesus talks about the eternal ramifications of social justice. At the time of our death, and we will all die, memento mori, we will all die. At the time of our death, it is not good if we stayed silent and did nothing, while the beggars we call common laborers were at the gate of our neighborhood begging for just wages. May we do good and fight for just wages for the workers who work or live in our neighborhood as we create a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.